welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're going to take a look at MLW Insider and MLW Fusion 159, Davey Richards versus SB Kento for the National Openweight Championship. But first, of course, as always, the news. Lot of new matches coming out of Blood and Thunder scheduled for January 7th at the 2300 Arena. We have four new matches announced to go along with the three other matches that have been previously announced. We have the Samoan SWAT team, new version, taking on Hustle and Power for the MLW Tag Team Championships. For the National Openweight Championship, Davey Richards will be taking on the returning Johnny Fusion, the former Johnny Mundo, former John Hennigan, former Johnny Nitro, former John Morrison, etc., etc., etc. Also announced as revenge for the theft of the Opera Cup, Davey Boy Smith Jr. will be taking on Beaumier Fight Club's Alex Kane. And in a hardcore match, Mance Warner will be taking on Ricky Shane Page. So a solid little batch of matches that have been announced this here week. That, of course, joins Real One versus Microman, Jacob Fatu taking on Ben Kay of the Dragon Gate promotion, and for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship, Yamato taking on ya boy Alexander Hammerstone. Now, in a little bit more serious news that I'll just speak in a weird voice and make it sound all peppy and happy, we've got some more details coming out of the MLW antitrust suit against the WWE. Just a reminder that in January of this past year, MLW brought forth legal action against the WWE, mostly for what is being implied to be WWE's interference in the Vice TV deal that MLW had with that channel, amongst some other projects that were put the kibosh on, and even contract tampering, it is being reported. But as such, we've got some updates on here. MLW laid out the grounds for their paperwork on December 7th, and any sort of pleadings of the deal is due February 13th of next year, 2023. The judge in this case has dismissed WWE's, asking for dismissal of this case, and they have scheduled a pretrial conference for September 7th, 2023 in San Jose, California. So prior to that date, and prior to the February 13th, 2023 date, WWE is supposed to potentially break out any documentation related to any relevant trust markets, documents related to Vice, Tubi, and Fight TV, WWE's employment agreements with events, venues agreements, and distribution agreements, WWE's poaching of talent from MLW, AEW, and its competitors, WWE's interference with booking arenas, and the impact of WWE's conduct on the entry into the market for broadcasting a professional wrestling programming related to consumer harm, documents related to Jerry S. McDevitt's appearance on Dark Side of the Ring, and damages. Great, God, damages. WWE has thrown out there that this lawsuit is a waste of time and frivolous, as it is wont to do with almost any lawsuit brought its way. Some of it has to do with the existence of AEW, so WWE is not a full-on monopoly, and just noted that other companies have had streaming services as well. WWE is not tampered with them. WWE has the WWE Network. Impact has Impact Plus, plus another handful of companies have their own streaming services as well. So progress, I guess, is being made in this. And as per usual, as I said, early last year when this was brought to everyone's attention, do I think this is going to cause a big sweeping change for everything? Do I think it's going to be ultimately successful? Probably not. But you know what? Just, the rooting for the underdog part of me, just in general, wants me to just go, yeah, stick it to the man. So, yeah, Court Bauer, stick it to the man. All right, it is time to check out MLW Insider. This week, it is going to be with Alex Kane of the Beaumier Fight Club as the special guest. Alicia Toot welcomes us to the program. points out that this past week it was announced that Cesar Duran is being let go of his position as MLW matchmaker for abandoning his post in light of the calling card killer fiasco where a bunch of dead bodies are found in the hallway, and he's just like, nope, see y'all. And then the next week he got in a very loud verbal argument with Court Bauer, and, well, now he's been relieved of his duties. Tute also brings out the latest news from Blood and Thunder, most notably Davey Boy Smith Jr. taking on Alex Kane. We get the Fusion Rewind, which I am just going to skip in its entirety. If you want to know that, watch Fusion, or better yet, get my review of last week's Fusion on MLW Confusion. So, blah, just going to fast forward through that. All right. We're going to bookend this program with Alicia Toot's interview with the former MLW National Openweight Champion, Alex Kane of the Beaumont 8 Fight Club. Kane starts the party off noting that he feels disrespected, and ultimately that was the reason why he stole the Opera Cup. He was like the number one draft pick, and then he was just an alternate in the Opera Cup tournament, so he felt disrespected and kind of just took what was his. When asked about the previous year in MLW, he fully thinks he's got the best rookie year in the sports this year, and possibly, of any year, of course. One of the more interesting questions that also came out of this is just a left field rando question that I thoroughly enjoyed just as a thought exercise in and of itself. But Kane is a master of suplexes, has hit anyone and everyone with a variety of them. Toot asks Kane, who in outside of the world of wrestling would he want to hit a suplex on the most? And Kane throws out Herschel Walker, former Senate pick, former NFL player, and just thought, Walker, he's got his brain scrambled. Maybe a good suplex will, fix that for him. And that is about as close as we're going to get to political on this here show. Not that Kane took that any further. He ends the interview basically calling Davey Boy Smith Jr. and all of the Hart family a bunch of hoes, and gets Alicia to chant along with him to Boma Yay, Boma Yay, Boma Yay. All right, let's get to the brass tacks of everything. It is now time for MLW Fusion 159, Davey Richards versus SB Kento in the main event of the evening for the National Openweight Championship. We start the program off with a recap of last week of the big wild brawl between Alexander Hammerstone and EJ Iduka, which ended with Hammerstone tackling Iduka through the stage, and Hammer needed medical attention afterwards because he got himself a nasty little hole underneath his lip. We will have updates on his medical condition tonight. We have our intro. We are welcome to the show by Rich Bocchini, Joe Drombowski. They run down the card here tonight, or at least what we're expected in the main event. Davey Richards, of course, versus SB Kento, National Openweight Championship, the Hammer medical update, and an update on Cesar Duran's departure from MLW. But before we get to any of that stuff, we're going to have our opening contest. It is a special match from IWA Puerto Rico. It is Cosmos versus Star Roger. Cosmos is evidently best known out of MLA in the Atlanta area. And Star Roger, in addition to being a mainstay in Puerto Rico, was possibly better known, and I'm not sure if you really want to say that here in America, but better known as Carlitos, a parody of Carlito or Carlito Caribbean Cool, the son of Carlos Colon, and he's kind of fought his way out of the shadow of that their parody character into a well-respected wrestler in his own right. So we're going to start this party off with the good old Lucha standoff action, bunch of flips and rolls and whatnot, leading into just them just staring at each other and nodding. Cosmos takes over after this hits a sunset flip, nasty knee, a dive outside the ring. Roger counters with his own dive outside the ring and hits chops around the ringside area. We go to break, and when we come back, there's back and forth before Roger hits a big wheel kick and a drop kick in the corner. Get another drop kick and a release German suplex. middle rope gourd buster, but he missed the double jump moonsault, allowing Cosmos to take back over, hitting a nifty tilt-a-whirl DDT for two, though Rogers hops up after that, hitting a jumping neckbreaker. We do have a chop-off leading to forearms, standing solo Spanish fly by Cosmos for two. Bocchini almost got that called right, but just forgot to hit the solo part of it, and then just kept plugging how happy the Maximos must be that people are stealing their moves and announcers are calling it the wrong name. However, moving on, Star Roger hits a solo Spanish fly from the top rope, so therefore it's just a solo Spanish fly to get the 1-2-3. And once again, of course, Los Maximos must be totally thrilled that people are taking the Spanish fly, doing variations of it for their own ill-gotten gains. That being said, hard-fought victory for Star Roger. I will definitely notice a big difference in the quality of the match, depending on who was kind of guiding the traffic, so to speak. Carlitos, the former Carlitos, Star Roger, you can kind of tell that he's a 20-year veteran and has gotten some success under his belt. Like, when he was in control, things seemed to flow a bit more smoothly, whereas when Cosmos was on offense, things were a wee bit clunkier. And I don't know if there was just a not gelling, or if Cosmos is not the ring general that Roger is, which is totally the case, because evidently there's about a 15-year experience discrepancy between the two, so that could be it too. But otherwise, it was a solid opener. There wasn't anything inherently wrong with it overall. I'm just, you know, armchair quarterbacking, armchair booking, yelling in a microphone in my mother's basement from my hot tub filled with pizza rolls, etc., etc., etc. Anyway, as stated at the top of Fusion, Alexander Hammerstone suffered a very slight injury tackling EJ Duca through the stage last week. Did have a hole pierced underneath of his lip. We get to see some cell phone footage of Hammer playing around with the hole with his tongue, like trying to stick his tongue through it, etc. But nothing serious to come out of that. Cameras catch up with EJ and Duca, and he, rightfully so, mocks Hammer because Hammer tackled him, and Hammer was the one who got injured. So, like, leave the tackling to EJ, leave the tackling to the judge, the future MLW World Heavyweight Champion. Following this, we get a promo from the Samoan SWAT team. Juicy is hungover AF. The rest of the team, like, are kind of just going back and forth. Fatu and Lance, you know, bopping around. They're ready for the gold. And as we stated, that the SST is getting a title shot January 7th. And then, of course, Fatu has won the Battle Riot, so he gets a title match of his choosing when he so desires. All right, we're going to take a brief pause for the cause, come right back after an energy drink, maybe start up a new podcast or something like that. I don't know. Just stay tuned, get through it, fast forward, whatever, man. They've already paid me my money in theory. I'll catch you all un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. Mads Kruger has promo time. He points out that Mance Warner prevented Kruger from ripping Hammer from the throne, which is what Mads was brought into MLW to do, take down Hammer, and has not succeeded from doing that, and evidently is not going to from a bit because he's distracted by Mance Warner. Speaking of Mance, he's out in the woods hunting Doc Gallows slash Mads Kruger. Finds himself a microman, though, who's hunting butterflies. They agree to go out hunting together. Maybe they'll catch some butterflies. Maybe they'll catch Doc Gallows. Maybe they'll catch a beer. Who knows? Stay tuned for that, huh? Also, we get the announcement that next week, the main event for Fusion will be Taya Valkyrie taking on Lady Flammer for the MLW World Featherweight Championship. In addition to that, we are going to have Mads Kruger taking on Mance Warner in a tables match. And finally, before we get into our main event, we get an Alex Kane promo. He points over that he's not giving the Opera Cup back. It's his now. And he's renaming it because it's kind of lame. So he needs to, you know, polish it up a bit. And now is the Beaumier, a club of the gods. And there may be an Opera Cup tournament, but everyone else is just getting a participation trophy because the true champion, the true winner of it all, will be the suplex assassin, Alex Kane, Beaumier, Beaumier, Beaumier. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is a match for the National Openweight Championship. Davey Richards, your champion, will be taking on Dragon Gate's SB Kento. Let's get it on. Hot grappling to start this here party. Kento gets pushed into the corner by Richards. Unfortunately, though, Kento does not choose to break cleanly and spends a lot of time going after Davey Richards' eyes and getting aggressive with stomps and various other strikes. Kento also strangles Richards with his t-shirt. I was originally going to make a comment about Dragon Gate guys all wrestling with t-shirts, but then Kento removed it, even if it was just to strangle Richards with it. He at least took it off to, you know, do something. They both head outside when we go to break. When we come back, there is a fight on the ring apron, which Kento DDTs Richards onto the ring apron. Mind you, that is the hardest part of the ring, so who knows what happens as we go to another break and we come back. Everyone's still alive somehow, surviving that concussive blow to the hardest part of the ring. We got stomps and a basement dropkick by Kento on Richards. Invites Richards to hit him in the face. Richards obliges, gets a couple shots in, and then Kento just goes in for an eye rake, and I had to giggle at that, because I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting another spirit battle, you know, another trading of strikes. Instead, rake the eyes. It's a party. However, after this, Richards gets a double stomp off of a sunset flip, kicks Dragon Screw in the ropes. However, he misses a diving double stomp, but immediately locks in the trailer hitch. Kento makes it to the ropes, though, has to release the hold. Kento hits a rebound German suplex for two. Richards goes up top and hits a superplex for two on his own. Turns that into the ankle lock. We get a roundhouse kick, German suplex, lariat, brainbuster for two. The kick out leads to another ankle lock. Kento can't make it to the ropes this time and has no choice but to tap. Your winner and still MLW World Openweight, I guess not world, huh? National. It's only the country, man. National Openweight Champion. After the match, Richards shows his respect to Kento despite all of Kento's cheating. He gets on the mic with Rich Bocchini and like talks about, you know, what a worthy opponent Kento was, and as being someone who's cut his teeth in Japan, really wants to see a bigger Dragon Gate presence in MLW. But one thing he's not a fan of, and that is Alex Kane taking his Opera Cup, beating him down. They still have beef. They are destined to tangle for all time. Richards wants blood, and he's coming for Kane's soul. Barring that, like, this match compared to last week's Dragon Gate special, like, I enjoyed this one a lot more for whatever reason. I think some of it is just they really focused more on the psychology part of entertainment rather than, like, here's some flashy moves and whatnot. I think it's just more of, you know, this is my preference in professional wrestling. I do like, you know, some personality injected into everything. Like, yeah, you know, fancy new moves are nice and all, but just like give me some cocky dickbag who is just willing to wantonly cheat. Give me a reason like for me to hate him because he's cheating all the bloody time. And, you know, Richards is a straight up, in the case, like, Richards is a straight up wrestler, but he's still got to overcome the odds of the guy who's willing to bend the rules to win this here match. But I did actually thoroughly enjoy the main event, and that eye rake spot, instead of a spirit battle, of course, you know, popped me as well. But no, mind you, the show is not over. We had, despite, you know, a very conclusive, attack on Alex Kane's soul, we end the show with Mance and Microman wandering down a path through the woods. That is when we're fading off to black, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I did say the opening match was a bit on the clunky side, but it wasn't bad at all. Definitely enjoyed this week's fusion more than last week's or so. Seemed to bring a bit more than to the table. And maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's the pairing of Mance Warner and Microman that just pushed it over the edge. Could have been that. I am a fan of those two together, and, like, they're together for, like, no good reason. So that's always entertaining in its own right. You know, very solid main event. You know, Davey Richards is doing a lot of work to rehab his image after kind of being drugged through the mud for a handful of years and taking a sabbatical from wrestling, not directly because of that, but, you know, one of the myriad of reasons for that. But otherwise, yeah, I do think it's a fun show. The one thing I didn't catch, which they do this quite a bit, actually, this is a pet peeve of mine, but they reference Cesar Duran being out as matchmaker, and then they really don't discuss it the rest of the show. But he is out, you know, because he abandoned his post and then getting in a verbal confrontation with Court Bauer afterwards. But they really just didn't touch on that at all through the rest of the show. But, you know, barring that pet peeve, you know, still fun. Still kind of curious to see if this is the end of Cesar. He still has a promoter's license, still is technically the proprietor of MLW Azteca. So we'll see if this leads to anything further. Will it? I don't know, but kind of hope it does. I am a fan of the Cesar Duran character. And even back in... what's the thing? Lucha Underground. That's the phrase I'm looking for. Even back in Lucha Underground. Anyway, rattling on incoherently, the show is over. This show should be over as well. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for all the plugs and the best ways you can help support this here small podcast and program. And in the meanwhile, I'll see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted at Anchor FM. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review would also be helpful. Word-of-mouth advertisement, of course, is very important for us small podcasts. For my social media links, they can be found in the description below, but the Twitter and Instagram are both at The Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual chip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. That is CassOnova. If you'd prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. Where for as little as $1, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So head up the crew and join Maverick 45, Alan Schroeder, and Keith Wynn, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net/collections/theconfusionpodcast. There's hyphens in between the Confusion Podcast, of course. And for other business inquiries, such as ads and sponsorships, please email me at rzkammer, K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.